Yeah, so we've got several developers. Like I mentioned before, a lot of our code is written with unmanaged C++ because it's at the bottom of the stack, and we enable managed code right on top of that. Any place where we can write our engine code in managed code, we'll definitely do that. So Reflection, for example, is now written in managed code where it wasn't in the first release.
Certainly.
Yep, so it's going to start somewhere.
I would imagine that, particularly on your team, the distinction between a developer and a tester is really blurred. I mean, your testers must be amazing developers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about it in general, in the developer division, mm-hmm. right, everybody's basically a developer. That's why you like working here. So
sure.
You have that in the first place. But then, as you mentioned, on our team, our test team, we'll go look at the labs in a little bit. When they run suites and things like that, they pull up the debugger and they do the first round of essentially investigation, right? They at least go grab all the call stacks and kind of figure out, maybe grab a dump that we can look at later, and then make sure they pull in the right developer to go look at that other piece. So, yeah, we definitely have a lot of very technical folks, which is great. We'll head down here towards the BaseClass Libraries team, works down here in this hallway. Looks like Brad Abrams is out today.
But he's got free food.
He's got free food out front, so something good happened there. You guys.
Hello.
This is Kit George, program manager on the BCL team.
How are you doing?
Rolls Corey, Chan and I.
Rolls.
And
Robert Skull.
Robert. Hey, Robert. How are you doing?
Well, you got a quick demo for us.
That's right. That's
with
right.
The functionality.
So here we have a demonstration of some new console features. This is Space Invaders. So if we load this up, we get beautiful... a color console, and as you can see, there's no cursor or anything. You can hide all that. You can draw wherever you like. If we go ahead here and start the game, then you won't be able to hear it, but we also have sound capabilities and everything cool like that.
And this brings me back to high school.
That's exactly what we're going for. And I'm just playing here as I would Space Invaders. This is using a whole suite of would-be features, including generics for storing things such as the invaders you actually see in the collection. If I pause that for a second as well, you'll see here that I have a little device. This is a serial port device, and we have some new APIs for communication with the serial port. So if I go ahead and open the connection there, we should get a nice little message that it's ready to go. And then if we continue, I can now use my device to control the guy on the screen. Instead of using the keyboard. So just hooking in yet another would-be feature.
That's awesome. Can you hook that up to USB?
Yes, you can. You can actually hook up a serial device to a USB port. You actually need a particular kind of interpreter in the middle, but it's just a piece of hardware that you can get easily. So it's very cool.
That's very cool.
Fantastic. So it looks like... this is heralding the future of arcade games running managed
code. Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
How much does that little thing cost to build?
This little device is available from a company called Crystal Fonts. There's their actual logo there. They're actually a Washington company. And it's around about $50. You need to get things like these cables back here as well.
Okay.
But it's going to cost you around about $50.
Okay. Wow.
So we got a bunch of new cutting-edge features
exactly.
as well. Kit's got a long list of new stuff with generics. This uses generics, actually, so you're... 1970s or 80s video game using generics.
That's awesome.
But it was actually a very large request from customers to get advanced console support because they have a lot of existing applications they'd like
sure.
to port over to .NET and make it run.
Exactly.
And of course, serial port is just generically used for so many things.
Exactly. Serial port's been one of the highest requested features that we've had without a shadow of a doubt. So people continue to ask us about it.
Cool.
That's very
thanks,
great.
Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Okay, so we'll leave the retro samples and head down towards the performance guys.
Okay. And they're going to have a game in the performance office five times as fast as what they just saw.
Yeah, they'll need to, won't they? Yeah, I've seen some pretty cool demos of Quake and C++ that flies along pretty good. So
sure.
That's pretty cool. There we go.
I made it back.
Excellent. So the Channel 9 guys.
Hi.
This is Rico Marinari, our performance architect for the CLR.
You said that worse than anyone I've ever
I'm
heard
sorry.
Before.
Can you correct it?
It's Mariani.
Mariani.
That's right.
Sorry, I do that every time, and he keeps reminding me I'm terrible.
Anyway, so you asked me to have some choice words ready.
Yes. What's the Rico next? Words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom. Wait, I wrote them down. Oh yeah,
so right there.
Write everything down. Yeah, a happy face. No, I have to write everything down. Otherwise, I forget under pressure. But I decided that of all the things that I could tell the world, I wanted to remind them that my pithy quote of the quarter, which is engineering is a quantitative discipline, is the one that I want to impress on people. So too many people are making decisions not by the numbers. Mm-hmm. And if people made more decisions by the numbers, then they would be following all my other advice, which would result in raises for me, by the way. So for my own sake, please.
Yes. I was mentioning these guys' examples of like the C-sharp serializer issues and things like that. So if you applied your quote to cases like that, just as an example, what do you think that would mean?
Well, I always tell people kind of the same formula. Go back and understand what your customer needs, and then try to decide, well, what benchmarks am I going to make that are going to be sort of representative of the way my customer is going to use my product or the way my library is going to get used or whatever it is that you're building. And then when you go back and have to make design choices like, you know, how much should I serialize, when should I serialize, which service should I use, what should I skip, what should I restore, you know, what should I recompute, you can make the decision quantitatively because you can go and say, okay, well, my benchmarks that I think represent my customer say if I do it this way, you know, it costs me so much time and so much space. And if I do it this other way, it costs me so much time and so much space. And then you can make a decision on the numbers. But just to do that, then you have to follow lots of my other advice. Like you'll need to have measurements and you'll need to say, well, what are the relevant benchmarks? Maybe you'll do some homework, you know, and you'll have to have an understanding of your customer, right? That's important too. I mean, it's all about understanding what your customer needs. You get that wrong, you can't possibly make any decisions. Yeah. But it's kind of funny. People, they start coding. Actually, I guess we're guilty here, right? It's so fun to code in .NET. You just want to sit down and just start coding and coding and coding, and you do this cool thing. Yeah. And after you've written all the stuff, you think, oh, well, I wonder what my customer needs. Well, maybe I should get rid of some of this, or maybe I need to tune some of this up. When it's harder to code, you want to do the preliminaries. You know, you want to go and do the whatever it is, go and do the modeling, do the diagrams, do the design, you know, write up a document and so forth. And maybe you're less enthusiastic about picking up the thing. You know, I was just writing a friend and I had to write this declaration for some interop stuff I was doing. And I'm like, what is it, decl spec deal? What's it, export with the one? And do I have to use, you know, which Pascal calling convention for this? Or I don't even know, and we have some arcane book to look it up. And you don't have any of that stuff in managed code. You just sit down, you start writing the stuff, and it all kind of hangs together. And whatever service you need, you can just start calling it. And you don't have to worry about where to put the imp lib and what version, and then, you know, none of this stuff, it doesn't come up.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, you just go.
Yeah.
But the
pay
good
attention
part
along the way.
Yeah. The good part before was that because you had all that stuff you had to do, there were all these preliminaries, it sort of forced you to think about, well, what am I going to use and what is it going to cost me and do I really want to do this? Is this a good idea? You know, when you didn't just kind of blindly go forward doing whatever, whenever, you know.
But I mean, one caveat here is that if performance is something that's critical to me, why would I want to use managed code at all?
You can get great perf out of managed code. You really can. The GC is hard to beat. There's tons of allocation disciplines that people use in the real world. I mean, not like stuff in a lab or something that your CS prof showed you, but like actual stuff that people do. You know, where you're doing UI stuff and you have temporary objects for your messages or whatever else. The GC is just awesome at this stuff. The allocation patterns are great there. You never have to worry about getting it wrong. The marginal cost for every alloc is very, very low. You know, so people worry about the GC, but, you know, I don't know that that's really the thing to worry about. The kinds of mistakes that people make with managed codes in terms of getting the bad perf are the same kinds of mistake you could make in native code, really. The thing is, the friction, there's so much less friction. Like, we make everything easy, you know? Mm-hmm. Even stuff that's costly is easy. Mm-hmm. In one line of code, you can, you know, read a couple meg of XML and extract some stuff from it and, you know, stick it in a controller or whatever, and people do because it's easy. And if you wanted to do that, in native code, you'd be going out of your mind. You could do it in one line. You're like, oh, I got to load a DLL, and I got to delay load, and then I got to find the import, and then I got to, what is the beaster thing, and then I map the one to the other. And you would have written 82 pages of code. You never would have done that. It just, there was so much built-in friction. You know, it never even would have occurred to you to do that kind of stuff. So the real gotcha is that it's all so easy. Everything is easy. Even expensive stuff is easy. So you got to be careful. I mean, it's good that everything's easy, right? Because you don't want it to be hard to read XML. They call, congratulations, we made XML so much harder to read that no one will possibly use it, so therefore they'll never have any perf problems with it. You know, I don't want to live in that world. Okay? The point is, it's supposed to be easy, but then, okay, now that you made it easy, you also have to kind of, you know, drive responsibly, you know? Like, if everyone drove a Formula One racer, you know, like, you could go really fast on the highway, that'd be good, but, you know, well, you know, people would be driving 300 miles an hour. You got to be careful out there. So, you just got to be careful.
Sure.
You know?
You have to be an engineer.
That's exactly right. And it's not always easy. It's like, if you really want, if you want the high perf, you can get there. But, you know, you're going to have to apply the discipline and the care that would have been maybe forced down your throat before. But the beauty of it is, a lot of times the perf, I mean, you do one-off tools or whatever. Perf isn't going to kill you. You know, you want to prototype some algorithms. You can whip together lots of different kinds of algorithms, find out what's going to work, you know, do 5-10 different prototypes, bang them out, not have to worry about weird bugs, and then you say, aha, this is the gem. Then you got to sit down and say, okay, this is what we're going to ship my customers now that I know what technique to use. How do I build this? How do I build this one in a really sweet way? You don't have to drop the managed code to do that either.
Cool.
But you're going to want to be a lot more careful than you were with those prototypes that you threw away.
Enrico, you got a blog, online with a ton of good perf advice.
I got a blog, that's right. Cool. And so I'm in the usual place for the MSDN blogs. It's blogs.msdn.com/RicoM. But there's another good place to go to, the PAG. You really want to go to the PAG. Some of our best advice is there. It's msdn.microsoft.com/perf. Really easy to remember. That redirects you to this big, long, awful thing. But just remember, msdn.microsoft.com/perf. Chapter 5 has got lots of great stuff on managed code. I co-wrote that with several folks over there in the prescriptive guidance group, and it's got really, really good thoughts. You know, lots of other people you talked to today contributed to that, too.
Fantastic.
It's a great little doc.
Great.
Go and read it.
Great. All right, thanks for coming.
Honor to meet you.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.